seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
In January 2023, Constance Martin and her boyfriend Mark Gordon disappeared and went on the run with their newborn baby, Victoria.
A nationwide search resulted in the sad discovery of Victoria's body, and the pair have now been charged with killing her, which they both deny.
I'm Jack Hardy, a news reporter for the Daily Mail. I'll be in court every day, reporting the events as they happen.
And I'm broadcaster and journalist Caroline Cheetham. Together, we'll take you behind the headlines, bringing you the evidence, witness statements and testimony from the Old Bailey in London.
This is The Trial, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon.
Last night, we published our extra episode after Constance Martin started giving evidence in her defence. She spent over 4 hours in the witness box being questioned by her barrister, Francis Fitzgibbon KC, and we tried to bring you what she said in that special episode.
Today, she has continued giving evidence in her own defence and will be bringing you more of what she told the jury.
We'll explain what she says happened in the moments, hours and days after she woke up to find Victoria had died in her arms.
How she thought they'll have a field day with this and said she knew the couple would be blamed.
How she bought petrol to cremate Victoria's body and the couple considered jumping into the flames themselves, but they couldn't go through with it.
Why the baby's body was covered with rubbish in the bag for life.
And how her previous experience in the family courts stopped her from handing herself in.
Welcome to episode 13. Let's just call it quits.
So, Jack, a quick recap of what we heard in yesterday's emergency episode, which we published pretty late last night because we thought it was such an important day in the court case. So yesterday morning, Constance Martin started giving her evidence in her defence. And across the day, she told the jury at the Old Bailey that her 4 other children had been removed from the couple unfairly. She said they were happy and well looked after. She also said she and Mark Gordon had been forced to live an unconventional life because she'd cut herself off from her family. She also said the couple had over 30 burner phones because she was convinced her family had hired private detectives to follow them.
Yeah, so she said despite losing her 4 previous children, she and Mark Gordon still wanted to be parents. So when they had Victoria, they were desperate to keep her. But when their car burst into flames on the motorway, all their money was lost. They knew the police would come and take Victoria away. So, she said, their weeks on the run was to try and keep her, to love her and to care for her. She said the baby was well cared for, she was feeding and sleeping well, and they had enough blankets and duvets to keep her warm. She also said Victoria was never carried around in the shopping bag, as the prosecution alleged. Instead, she said she was usually inside her coat or strapped to the chest of one of the parents in a sling.
So by the end of her evidence yesterday, we'd got to the point where she had awoken to find Victoria wasn't breathing. She claimed this was on January the 9th last year, the day after they'd first arrived in Sussex. And this is important because, remember, the prosecution say she died later on after being exposed to the cold for much longer. Her exchange with Francis Fitzgibbon KC is voiced by actors.
Before you discovered she had died, had you been aware of any problems with her?
No. She was fine. She was happy, content.
There didn't seem to be anything wrong.
Did you knowingly expose her to any dangerous conditions during that time?
No.
When you confirmed she was dead, what did you do?
I took her out of my jacket. I believe I woke Mark up and said, "Baby, something's wrong." He didn't believe me and we tried to resuscitate her, but she wasn't alive. We didn't accept she wasn't alive, so we were trying to make her breathe again.
What do you mean when you say you didn't accept she wasn't alive?
You don't want to accept when someone has passed away. It's overwhelming. It's too much to take in.
Did you seek any kind of medical attention at that time?
No, because she definitely wasn't alive. I don't think we were thinking at that point because of shock and despair. I don't think we knew what to do, to be honest with you.
It's been suggested baby Victoria died much later. What do you say to that?
No, of course she didn't die later.
So she then said that they had stayed in the tent for a few days after the baby had died. Mr. Fitzgibbon asked what they did with the baby's body.
I held on to her for a few hours. I wrapped her in a black headscarf I was wearing, some parting words to her, and then I put her in the bag for life.
Bag for life? Why the bag for life?
I didn't want to carry her on me while she wasn't alive, and we needed to carry her to the next place.
What were your thoughts?
I immediately panicked. I just didn't know what to do. They are going to have a field day out of this. The media and press and social services, everyone. Because she was in my care, and the next thing, she died. I panicked and thought, how am I going to get my other kids back now that Victoria has passed away? I thought about cremating her, but didn't know what to do. So I just carried her around.
They then started discussing the trip that she made to the Texaco garage a few days later on January the 12th. And you might remember that she was seen filling up a bottle of petrol at the pump in the forecourt before buying it. She said she didn't use the petrol between the moment she bought it and her arrest.
What was the purpose of buying it?
We were thinking about cremating her. I spent time in India before. I've been to a funeral there where I've seen a body being cremated. I knew it was easy to do. At one point, Mark said, "Why don't we jump in with her, call it quits? Let's just all have a fire and say goodbye to life." We had just had enough at that point.
As Constance Martin described this moment to the court, her mother, Virginie de Sellier, broke down and began to sob quietly.
If that thought was in your mind of cremating the remains, what stopped you?
I couldn't bring myself to do it. We had 1,000 different thoughts in our heads. Let's hand ourselves in. Let's go to the police. But I thought they wouldn't accept the truth. They'll have a field day with it. We had lots of different ideas. We were in a state of indecision and panic.
You kept the remains. Why?
It's difficult to explain unless you are in that situation. Being in a position where your child is dead and you're number one in the world in the press. I don't think we knew what to do.
Even though she was dead, did you want to be parted from her body?
I know it seems bad, as well as grief, fear of the authorities not accepting the truth. I have read so many cases of parents being in a similar situation of truth not being accepted. Horror stories. So I thought at one point, should I bury her and get enough money from the bank to get away? But we kept her with us, because I didn't want to bury her. And I didn't know what to do.
Mr. Fitzgibbon then turned to the other things that were found on top of Victoria's body when the bag for life was discovered by the police. You'll remember the prosecution said at the start of this trial there was a pile of refuse on top of her body, suggesting that she'd been discarded like she was rubbish. But Constance Martin said they'd been forced to do it because they'd taken a bus into Brighton on several occasions and the bag kept attracting attention.
People kept looking in the bag, and it had earth in it. We looked like the people off the news, so I thought, let's cover it in unused food wrappers.
Why earth?
This was a few weeks after. We wanted to cover her body with something, and it began to smell, so we put it on top of her.
Mr. Fitzgibbon then picked up the story after Constance Martin's trip to the Texaco garage, and she told him it was the day that they left New Haven and travelled into Brighton to find a new place to set up camp. They sat and ate some food on Brighton Beach, she said, before going to Stanmer Park in the city where they set up camp. They stayed there for 4 or 5 days before moving to nearby Wild Park near Hollingbury Golf Course.
She was asked if the couple went to Seaford, which is where a witness claimed to have seen them, but she denied this. She was also asked about a receipt that was found in the allotment shed with Victoria's body for Seaford Golf Course. The receipt was for a round of golf.
You didn't play a round of golf?
No.
Over the weeks that followed, they stayed in Wild Park, but regularly moved their tent to different locations within the park. They went on a few trips to the shops, including to Brighton, but stopped making shopping trips after she thought they were nearly caught by the police when someone recognised them.
How did you think this was all going to end?
I don't think I was really thinking, to be honest with you. We were in a heightened state of grief and fear. I kept toying with handing myself in.
She said her experience of the family court was one thing that stopped her handing herself in. While preparing their defence in the family court, she said she would regularly access a database of legal cases. And while browsing these cases, she said she was struck by parents whose explanations were not believed by the police or by the courts.
I had read numerous cases of parents whose children had passed away, and the parents had ended up in prison until years later. I was too scared to take that risk, because with all the press coverage, people wanted something negative to happen and didn't want to hear the truth. So we just sort of lived wild.
Constance Martin was then asked about the state of her clothing when she was found. You might remember that when she was arrested, her jacket was found lined with furniture stuffing for insulation. She explained that she had ripped her jacket on some brambles and lost the insulative material, so she was forced to improvise to stay warm.
During this time, where in relation to you were the remains of Victoria?
We usually carried her with us. I think there were a few occasions when Mark and I were very weak, and we just couldn't carry her around.
She said they'd been looking for food when they were captured on CCTV at Hollingbury Golf Course, scavenging in the bins.
Mark was extremely thin. That was our only option, to try to find any food in the bin from the restaurant.
However, on the 27th of February, you did go shopping, didn't you? How was it you did decide to go to the shop on that day?
Mark was anorexically thin and very unwell. And I realised we cannot continue like this anymore. It's ridiculous and unsustainable. If we kept going much longer, eating one piece of bread out of a bin, it just wasn't sustainable. I said we had to go to get some money out. We needed to eat some food, get our blood sugar back up, because how we were living was completely unsustainable.
Did you have Victoria with you?
No. She was in the allotment shed we were sleeping in. I was too weak to carry anything. My blood sugar was very low. I felt very weak. Mark ripped the end of one of his toes off and it got infected.
Now, at this point, Mr. Fitzgibbon turned to the arrest of the couple and Constance Martin's refusal to tell them anything about where Victoria was when they were detained.
When you were first asked about where Victoria was, were you willing to tell the police?
No.
Why?
I was terrified, scared of this happening.
By this, what do you mean?
What's happening now?
Being on trial.
Being on trial? The press? I thought there would be so much media presence, the truth wouldn't be accepted, and they would make us out to be awful people, basically.
The jury were reminded that during Constance Martin's initial police interviews, she answered no comment to all the questions.
I didn't want them to find Victoria's body, because I just knew they were going to have an absolute field day with us. We'd been number one in the news, so I didn't have any trust in the police or the system.
After finding the body of Victoria, as we know, Constance Martin did decide to start talking to the police.
There was no point in saying no comment because they had found her.
She was then asked how she was feeling at the time.
Depressed, grief, stress, a whole range of emotions really.
They then went through the details of her police interviews and she said that she had told the truth about everything, except for when she got confused and said the baby had died in Harwich rather than Newhaven. Before Mr. Fitzgibbon finished his examination in chief, he asked Constance Martin one last question.
You told my lord and the jury at the beginning of your evidence yesterday you felt guilt for what happened to Victoria. Did you do anything or fail to do anything, as far as you're concerned, to cause her death?
No. She was my pride and joy. I have 4 kids. I know how to look after children. We were taking great care of her. My primary concern was Victoria and to look after her. I do feel responsible for falling asleep on her, if that's what happened. I'm not sure, because the autopsy was inconclusive, but I do feel responsible for her.
We'll take a break there.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So that was it for Constance Martin's main evidence, but earlier today it was the turn of Joel Smith, the prosecutor, to cross-examine her. Their exchange has been voiced by actors.
Ms. Martin, you said to your own lawyer yesterday that in your relationship with Victoria, you showed her nothing but love and that you gave her the best care that anyone would. Do you stand by that?
Absolutely. I think with children, the most important thing is that they are loved, secure, and warm. It is the most important thing that we can give to our children.
Do you stand by the assertion you gave her the best care that anyone would?
Yes, absolutely. Babies need the warmth of their parents. What you can give them is the best.
After everything that happened, you think you gave her the best kind of care that anyone would?
Yes.
You stand by that even after everything that happened?
Mr. Smith, the facts are, in life, accidents happen, and they are tragic. It was not something I could have foreseen or planned for in any way, shape or form.
Can you see taking a newborn child into a tent in the middle of winter with no heating, no hot water? That is a very bad decision.
You were looking at it from a very Western perspective. Children around the world, for example in Mongolia, children live in igloos, as long as that child is given protection, nurturing and food.
Is the answer to my question, I stand by my decision?
Obviously, being in a house would be better than being in a tent.
Was it a bad idea?
It wasn't the best one.
Right, we're getting there.
You're trying to get me to say something you want me to say. I've worked around the world. Children are living in tents in Calais. And they are surviving because they are being well cared for.
Was it a good decision?
It was the only decision I had at the time.
The only decision you had?
Yes.
You could have told your friends and family in social services about the child.
The risk was too great of her being taken. Two of my children have been abused in care. They had to be removed from their foster parents. If I didn't know where my child is going, I'm not going to take that sort of risk.
Is what you're telling the jury that the reason you went to live in a tent was because you believed that social services would have exposed your children to abuse?
Of course, there are some great foster carers and some excellent social workers, but it is a gamble, and we don't know what you are going to get.
It was better to live in a tent.
We weren't intending to live in a tent.
Do you regret taking your child into a tent?
I regret falling asleep in the way I did.
Do you regret taking her into a tent?
I would have been better to have a house.
Do you regret it?
I regret falling asleep.
You say you disagree with the family court?
Yes.
Social services are wrong?
Absolutely.
The guardians were wrong?
I think it's a corrupt system.
Because all of those formed a view that you and Mr. Gordon were not fit to parent your children.
I firmly disagree.
They were wrong, and you knew better, and that is why you kept baby Victoria secret?
Yes.
Because they were wrong. That's why you went into Sussex to sleep in a tent.
I would rather my child doesn't go to social services.
Because you thought social services were wrong, taking your children away, that is why you decided to go underground.
There were other players as well as social services, my family and the public.
Because you disagreed with social services, because you knew better, that is why you decided to take your child up Cantercrow Hill and live in a tent.
Victoria would be alive if it wasn't for them. I'm not blaming them for her death. I'm just saying it is a very unfortunate position.
Have you considered that in trying to prove them wrong, you proved them more right than you could possibly know?
I didn't try to prove anyone wrong.
So that's it for today. We're expecting the cross-examination of Constance Martin to continue next week.
We should remind you that Constance Martin and Mark Gordon deny manslaughter by gross negligence. They also deny perverting the course of justice, concealing the birth of a child, child cruelty, and causing or allowing the death of a child.
We'll be back on Friday. In the meantime, you can follow us on X at The Trial Podcast and contact us on thetrial@mailmetromedia.co.uk.
You can leave a comment on Spotify or even send us a voice note on WhatsApp on 07796 657 512. Start your message with the word trial.
See you then.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.